You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Friday's edition of the podcast where we're looking ahead to the action. We've got jumps meetings all the way on Friday afternoon from Fontwell, Hexham and also from Warwick, and there's evening cards across both sides of the Irish Sea. We're racing on the all-weather at Dundalk and there's action domestically at Newcastle as well. Sam Norris here on today's edition of the podcast, and joining me in the studio is Ollie Pimlott to take a look at two contests on Friday. How the devil are you, Ollie?
Sam, it's a pleasure to be here. A novel experience without any headphones to record this.
Yeah, we're recording this on the go, if you like, with a bit of portable equipment.
We are indeed. It's all high-tech kit.
It is.
Unfortunately, our PCs aren't the most high-tech.
Yeah.
You know, our old Acorn, it's just about packed in now.
It just about has. This portable device that we're recording off is probably more high-tech than the PC was.
It is. Well, we had Amstrad, that packed in. We've gone to Acorn now, and that's nearly gone. So hopefully in, you know, about 20 years' time, we might have a... You know, God forbid, an Apple.
Yeah,
or,
maybe.
Or something like that. Maybe you could even settle for a Dell.
Indeed. Hopefully the sound quality is okay, though, as we make our way through the podcast. I want to start, first of all, Ollie, with a bit of chat about Q-Card, and in particular, Paddy Brennan. The news broke yesterday that he'd lost the ride. Fantastic opportunity for Harry Copton. We'll get to that in a little bit. Is he unlucky to lose the ride, Brennan?
I don't think so. I think he was lucky to get on him in the first place, right, if I was honest. He's fallen two of the last three times with him. They've all been identical sort of falls, just guessing. You know, it's not a jockey's fault, but you'd argue he did deck him at Cheltenham,
yep,
2 years ago in the Gold Cup. And I do think it's time for a change, but I don't think it's, you know, a lot have been made of it, but I think it's like football managers nowadays. You know, you've got big owners, lots of money, they want success, they pay the bills, they want to change. Fair enough, it's a fickle world we live in. I just don't think it's that big a deal.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things that sort of columnists need to fill the right words about.
Yeah. And, you know, he's probably regressive now, Q-Card. He's going to be 12. He's not going to be ever as good as he once was.
Mm.
Admittedly, he was brilliant last season, but he's probably past his sell-by date. But what a great opportunity for a 19-year-old in Harry Cobden. He's ridden a good bit for Tizzards. Paul Nicholls entrusted him to win a fighting fifth last year. So yeah, he's already got grade one success in his pocket. And it might well do him good. Fresh pair of hands on him. And I would say there's no pressure for Harry Cobden.
Yeah.
Given the way Q-Card's been running the last two or three times, it can only go well. You know, if he falls again, so be it. They might retire him. But, you know, if he happens to bounce back at Haydock, then, you know, it's a great opportunity for him.
I think it's
an absolute no-lose situation for Harry Cobden.
Yeah. I was just about to put the question to you, actually, Ollie. What do you make of there's calls from some people on social media that Q-Card should be retired already. Have they got a case there?
He seemed to be travelling well enough,
yeah,
as well at Weatherby, didn't he, before falling? I think when they came out with the sun excuse, they did that with Coniggree as well. I think it was just to cover their backs a little bit. I didn't buy into that on the day.
Neither did Mr. Millman.
No, it didn't affect Bristol DeMai or Black Lion, did it? So I think they were just finding an excuse for it. But for me, it's not huge news. I think we're living in a fickle world where people pay a lot of money for the training fees, a lot of money for the horses. They're entitled to have on who they want, and if you're not happy about that, buy your own horse and put your one on as well.
Yep.
I just don't think it's that big a deal, and I think it'll do the horse a world of good because clearly things haven't gone right. You know, when you've fallen two of the last three times in identical manners,
yes,
something's amiss. Maybe the cue card, the horse, or maybe Paddy Brennan saying go and he says, oh no.
Yeah.
So I think it can only be a positive, and if things don't go to plan next time, you'd have thought they will retire him. But, you know, they had to do something, Sam.
Yeah. Yeah, to try and rejuvenate the horse a little bit. Well, at least getting to complete would be half the battle. Okay, now let's move on to some of Friday's racing. Then we go to Hexham for a couple of races on their programme. And we begin with the 210, which is a handicap chase over 3 miles. Got a field of 8 lining up for this one. Hopefully we keep the dead 8 runners. We will get 3 places each way if we do. And an interesting mix of horses lining up here. Ollie, where's your idea of the winner coming
from? Well, the one you've got to start with is Western Joe. He'll be your likely favourite. He was 3rd at Carlisle over 2.5 miles last month, having gone up £18 in the ratings for his easy success at Hexham earlier in the month. Back up in trip to 3 miles today should suit, but that £18 anchored him at Carlisle last time, and I just think for a mark of 120, he is in the handicapper's grip a bit here. I thought it lay between two horses here, one at the top of the ratings and one near the bottom. The one at the top is Teddy T. Nicky Richards has had a superb start to the National Hunt season. He looked progressive a couple of years ago, Teddy T, and ran well on his sole start over fences at Bangor 2 years ago. He's not been seen on the racetrack much since, but after a long absence, 13 months off, I thought he ran well when fourth at Kelso last time. Entitled to improve on that. He's unexposed over fences. Off a mark of 1.22 with the new handicapping rules, he can sneak in this here off a mark of 1.22 because he gets that £2 allowance. So Teddy T, I think, at the top of the weights will go well. And at the bottom, I thought Jump for Doe was interesting. First start for Lucinda Russell, having previously been trained in Ireland. He won a 19-runner handicap hurdle on his penultimate start and then ran a good third at Kilbeggan. He looked mildly progressive at a lower level in Ireland. Lucinda Russell might be able to find a little bit more improvement in him. So Jump for Doe would be up there with Teddy T to take on the favourite Western Joe. And of the two, I would probably just sneak with the inform yard of Nicky Richards with Teddy T.
Teddy T, the choice for Ollie then in that 2.10 race at Hexham for Nicky Richards and Ryan Day. We stay at Hexham. 1 hour later comes the 3.10. This is a handicap hurdle just shy over 3 miles the trip this time. We've got 15 runners that line up on this occasion. Looked a tough race to sort out, to my eye anyway, Ollie, albeit that On a Promise may well take a little bit out of the market, again, for that combination of Nicky Richards and Ryan Day.
Yeah, Riva Badiva, we have to start with the top weight. Broke a huge, long losing run when finally getting off the market last time. He was able to run off the same marquee and got the same jockey on with Thomas Wilmot. So it was effectively £7 well in here. He's due to go up to 104 in future races, so... You know, how often do we see it? A horse is a long time made and then suddenly they win two or three in a row that they've got the confidence up. But I'm still not entirely convinced by him. And I am going to have to go with the Nicky Richards horse here as well. On a Promise, benefited from the step up from 2 mile when striking over the extended 2 mile five at Wetherby last time. Steps up to 2 mile 7 furlongs here. That'll certainly be in his grasp the way he performed at Wetherby last month, and he's eligible to run off the same mark here. I think it's going to be very difficult to beat, so not really thinking outside the box. There are 15 runners, but in reality I don't think half of them have much of a chance here, so stick with the very much inform On a Promise up in trip for Nicky Richards.
Could be a double for Nicky Richards on the day then, with On a Promise in that race and Teddy T in the 2.10, the two to focus on for Ollie at Hexham on Friday. Do join us for all of the action on William Hill's Racing Radio. We'll be live with Alex Dunn, Gareth Topham, Kevin O'Malley to guide you through all of the racing on Friday. Thanks for that, Ollie. Enjoy it and best of luck.
Sam, as always, a pleasure.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.